بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تقوى is at different levels. The primary level of taqwa is a precondition for iman and jannat. Literally it means to abstain, to restrain. So at the primary level one restrains from kufr and shirk. So that's the primary level, basic level. Without this, there's no place. Then the secondary level is one leaves out the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala or the disobedience of Hazrat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's a secondary level. A Muslim cannot just remain stagnated in one level. He must keep moving. So in order to get the progress, then he needs to see what's the obstacle in the path, what's the impediment in the path, and he needs to remove them. As he removes them, then he's moving, he's getting space to move. That's the second level. And the third level is you need to clean your heart and empty your heart of everything besides Allah Ta'ala. So you restrain your heart from any other thing but Allah Ta'ala. So at any given time, then your heart is filled with the remembrance, the love of Allah Ta'ala. Everything else is just coming by the way. Now that's the advanced level, very high level. That normally doesn't come of your own until you don't be in the company of the mashayikh, etc., going through the training, etc. Then this thing comes up. So this is the advanced level. Hazrat Shihabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi alayh, some saintly person of the time, says that I was trying to correct myself and trying to get myself right. And in getting myself disciplined, I was also fasting, doing some things just to get myself right. And on one occasion, Shihabuddin Sohrawardi rahmatullahi saw me and he invited me to this meal, and I wanted to excuse myself because I was fasting. So he says to me that eating is better than being a slave to the nafs. Eating is better than fasting, but at the time that you are a slave of the nafs. So you are fasting, but you are also at the same time listening to the nafs. Slave means you are listening to the nafs. So when you are listening to the nafs and you are fasting, then this is not right. Because when you are listening to the nafs, you may be fasting, but there may be some vanity in your heart, self-admiration in your heart, and pride in your heart. See me, I'm not eating. See all these people here. They're eating, like animals, they're eating. Me, I'm better than them. So, person is eating, he is better than this person that is entertaining these type of thoughts. So anyway, I thought to myself, Usne to mere dil ke chor ko pakar liya. He caught the thief of my heart. So I asked him, that if I come across a zamana where I cannot find a fani fillah and baqi billah. In other words, like I said just now, that his heart is just pulsating with love. At any given time, it is just Allah Ta'ala, everything else. He's doing everything else, but by the way. But I can't find such a person. So until I find such a person, what should I be doing? So Shihabuddin Sohrawardi explained to me that what you do until you don't find such a person, then we make istighfar sincerely after every namaz, at least 20 times. Then he says the reason for it, that Rasulullah said, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِيَةَ مَرَّةً وَمِيَةَ مَرَّةٍ. But sometimes a sort of a cloud sets onto my heart. So one is you've got a clear communication with Allah Ta'ala and things are going up pretty well. And then sometimes that path is misted, frosted, or is clouded. So now, what do you do for the clearance? You want a clearance to Allah Ta'ala, what do you do? So this happens that for several reasons this thing can happen. A cloud feeling overwhelms and covers the heart. I'll come back to this story here. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib would say that when I have to go out to Mewat, Tabligh, Ijtima, etc., I make sure that I go with the right type of people. But when I come back to the Ijtima in Mewat or wherever else, then I spend some time in Raipur or Saharanpur or some place of zikr, remembering Allah Ta'ala profusely until all the effects of the association and meeting up all is washed away. But in spite of the fact that he's going in a good group, in spite of the fact that he's a zakir, they're going for dini work, but now associating, assimilating and mixing up brings about some type of a clouded feeling. So you don't have the clearance that is required. So in order to restore this feeling, here is what I do. That I go to these places where there is zikr in abundance and I get my heart reinstated in the right state. So this heart is like that, see. That's why you call it qalb. It keeps turning. It's not in one condition, not one state. Sometimes it's high, sometimes low, sometimes straight, sometimes crooked, sometimes sideways. So this thing is moving all the time. Now, you want a clearance and you want the good communication, a nice, healthy, good communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the articles that are read about Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi. The Mawlana had already passed on and one murid of his had a very frightening dream. He felt like the whole world is covered in darkness. And then in that state, he had come to Gangoh in his dream now, after Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi had passed away. Shaykhul Hind Sahib rahmatullahi was sitting on the side, and Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi perhaps was lying down. So the Shaykhul Hind Sahib rahmatullahi reprimanded him, and he said, "Har jai ko keh do, ki uske liye yahan par jagah nahi hai. This type of people, there's no place here for them. Har jai means you can go to any place and every place for some type of spiritual improvement or for any other need also. You can go to any place here, there, way." So ایسے کو کہہ دو کہ یہاں ان کے لئے کوئی جگہ نہیں ہے. But in that حضرت گنگوہی صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ said, ارے فلانے کیا تُو نے توبہ نہیں کیا, don't you have any made توبہ. So then پھر کوئی حرج نہیں انشاءاللہ. Then the dream just ended. He caught up in a fright because حضرت شیخ محمد رحمت اللہ علیہ shouted him, and حضرت گنگوہی صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ in that said, "You have made Tawbah, inshallah the road should be open up for you." But he was feeling very much disturbed. So he went and related the dream to Hazrat Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib rahmatullahi, because now they are the senior people of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi. This is what happened. So this person, incidentally, what he was doing, he had some problems, whatever type of problems he had. And when a person got a problem, his mind doesn't work. He can go to anything. So he went to a Hindu, and that Hindu told him, you must feed the monkeys on a Tuesday. So you should do that. And someone told him, be that the army or whatever, told him that have a feather on your turban. So he did that. And some strange, weird things he did. Now, going running to this person, running to that person, the third person, whatever he's telling him, he's in a fix, he's in a jam, in a problem now. He just wants to get cleared out. So whatever is being told to him, he's just doing it. And he's putting himself deeper and deeper into problem. So Mawlana Sanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi heard the whole dream. He said, "Bhai, I'm sab gunegar hai. We all sinful." Mawlana Sanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi was an embodiment of humility. He said, "I'm sab gunegar hai. We all sinful." Lekin, and he says, "Lekin kisi bare ke haath mein haath dene ke baad, aise waise logo ke paas chala, ye bahut khatarnaak cheez hai. When you have given your hand into the hands of someone very senior, then you go to this person here, and the other person, and the third person, deen ka tigana nahi, and just go like this person, that person, and the third person, this can be very dangerous." Then he says, "Or biyat ki tajdeed ki bhi zarurat hai. There is a need to renew your biyat, make toba, go to Gango." And he did as he was told, alhamdulillah. In a few days, everything just got cleared. So, we are talking of taqwa, and I said there are different levels. And a Muslim mustn't remain at one level. He has to keep moving on. If you don't move forward, so you get stagnated. And stagnation then brings about decadence, decays everything. So you need to keep moving on. You want to go backwards, then that's destruction. You know, when stagnant, then also that's not right. You have to move on. It's a vehicle, and you just leave it like this, then what happens? The battery will pack up. You get some complications. Now, we're hearing about this lockdown, right? And there's no international flights. So, you've got these countries, they've got 300, 500 fleets, they've got so many. So it's costing them to maintain it. Because every day, those pilots have to go, start the engine, fly the thing a little bit, bring it back. So it's a very costly exercise. So the same here, is you need to do some work, to move up. And as you're moving up, you're becoming more and more refined. You're coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, and the refinement is greater. Now, you need to understand that I can't be the person that I was when I just started off. When I started off, a lot of things were tolerated, overlooked. They were small, and they were overlooked. But now, as you're flying high, now you can't be the same person what you was then. Now you're going to be checked. Small things, big things, are they going to check you out. And then, sometimes you can jam your path because of this negligence. You neglected it, and you can fall by the path. You may have considered it to be a small thing. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he says, "I just had a bad thought about someone, and I was deprived for tahajjud for 6 months. Forget talking bad. Forget doing bad. I just had some suspicion about some person, some wrong thought about a person, and then I got." So you have to be very careful now. See, you're coming on, Allah Pak is favoring you, and you're coming into a different class. You're coming to Mala'ul A'la, a special class. In a special class, you can't be carrying on like the third class. You have to behave accordingly. See, the smaller sins, the bigger sins, weaknesses, the thoughts of the mind, the utterances of the tongue, all these things that you have to be careful about. It's not that you become totally silent, but you have to be careful. Now, I have to remind people that some of these principles, please don't apply to your wife and children. I say, "Hey, the buzruk doesn't even talk here, doesn't eat. What happened to her?" whenever I see him that he's just crying, be your normal sanatron. Don't get into rebirth and panchayat, etc. Good talks, but have a clear, a good approach. The family life is a different life. So that's why the fuqaha have also written that if someone is on total abstinence, he's on total abstinence, right? He's renounced the world and he's not taking any bath, etc. He can't apply the same thing for his wife and children. If he's renounced, alright, you can manage it. But can your wife and your children, do they have the level of endurance that you have? If they don't have that, then you can't apply the same standard onto them. Yes, you can apply it to yourself, you can manage it. But you can't force them to come to the same level. Then you will treat them like you need to treat them. If you are on a wealthier bracket, then you treat them accordingly. On an average, then accordingly. Poorer, then accordingly. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. Every person, according to the level that he is wealthy, and she is wealthy, you treat her accordingly. If you're coming from a moderate class, then accordingly. And if you're finances are a bit restrained, you are poor, you are underprivileged, and accordingly you will treat her, you look after her. Now you can't say that I am at the low class and I must now look after her at the high class. I can't do that. But what I'm getting at here is once Allah Pak has taken you out, you're moving, you can see now, now you need to be careful of yourself. Small utterances, big utterances, and by the way, you will also apply the same standard. Right? It's a little child, right? A little child used some word that was inappropriate, right? For example, a child 2 years of age. So, he's learning to talk. So he's called his father by his name. It's fine. The father will cheer him up and be happy, give him a, and he will compliment him and all that, right? So when he's 2 years of age, the father will compliment him for that type of word. But now when he's 20 and he says, call his father, Ismail, come here, give one slap. So at one level, it was a cheer. You complimented the child, right? You were happy with him. You said, shabash, mashallah, very good. When he's learning to talk, 1.5, 2 years of age. But when he's at that age now, he can't reduce himself to that level. Now you have to come and behave at that age. You're at a different age now. You have to behave at the age that you are. So these are some of the adabs, etiquettes. People say, this part here, whatever, it's all natural, it's logical. You apply it in your own homes. But just that we're not in the habit of thinking, reflecting, understanding. Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now, he's made his Islah by some Naqshbandi Buzurg. And that Naqshbandi Buzurg has passed on. Now, he's in a state of ghabrat now. That my path hasn't yet completed. سلوک ابھی تک پھر نہیں ہوا اور میرے شیخ کا انتقال ہو گیا میں شیخ از پاسٹ آن واٹ ڈو آئی ڈو سو یو گیٹ ڈفرنٹ پیپل یو نو وین آئی واز ان جلال آباد سو ہیڈ گون فور 5-6 منتھس سو دا فیملی ٹریڈیشن واز اباؤٹ 1920 دے ول گیٹ یو میریڈ اینڈ دے سے مو کو ہچوی لوانا ہوگا So opportunity now, you won't get this thing here, and you must get married. So I took the letter to read it to Hazrat Rahmatullah that this is what the family is talking about, to get married. Before I can read the letter, Hazrat tells me, dekho, ye sulook do kisam ka hota hai, ek ijmali aur ek tafseeli. That you're going on this path here, then there's two ways, right? There's two levels. One is Ijmal and one is Tafseel. Ijmal is like, you've got the basics. Tafseel, then you've got the complete picture. for advanced level. Like how when you're admitting yourself or your child for some education, dini education, one is at primary level, basic level, you send him to a muktab, right? So 1 to 2 hours in the afternoon and he gets the basis of Islam, right? So now he wants a little bit of advance, that will not be sufficient. He have to go to a madrasa, higher education. So that's called tafsir. So Hazrat was alluding towards me that you coming here for tafsir, so you can't do a shortcut business here. Now you only want this, that you get married and all that, then your mind is going to be running in all directions. So he gave me that explanation, right, that you can't do this thing here. And this will make them feel happy now at home. Okay, everything will happen in this time, inshallah. But now you come for this, so you can't go on that line. Right. So now, that person that is going on an advanced level, right, so the whole approach is going to be different. It's going to be more serious. Small things are going to be taken seriously. And he also will find a restlessness until he hasn't accomplished the path. جب تک کہ کمال حاصل نہ ہو, until he didn't find that perfection, until he doesn't find that, he feels a restlessness, he's uneasy. You can understand now, you know, I'm stuck in the path, I haven't reached yet. Like you're traveling to Johannesburg, right, and you're stuck by Ladysmith, for example, will you feel at ease? Can't say, I'm not in Johannesburg, I'm not at home. I need to be somewhere at least. So the man that is traversing, right, so like I say, there are different people. One is just wants to do the basic. The basic now, they're getting the namaz right, they're not getting to haram, practicing the sunnah, right, so they got the basics. But now this person wants something advanced. When he wants something advanced, then he has to be much more careful. He's going to make a small mistake, he's going to break down, like the story that was said just now. Al-Mu'an Ganguly Sahib Rahmatullahi had passed a fatwa of the crow being halal. So crows you get of different types. Right? The crows that you see flying above us, right? That is not halal. So you'll find the crow that flying here, normally it has a white stomach on the under its white. So that thing lives off carrion. So because it lives off carrion only, therefore it's not right. But the one that you get in India, then normally it would live off grains. Now and then you eat something else, but by and large it only eats grains. Like our chicken, right? They will eat grains. Now and then they see something, some meat or something, and they eat it. But that's not their food. Food is grains, right? So that which you get in India, that is permissible. So Hazrat Ganguly Sahib Rahmatullahi passed a fatwa of this being halal. So one buzurg now, imagine he's at a higher league now. Some statement came out of his tongue. So he says, today they have declared the crow halal. Kal to cheel ko bhi halal kar denge. Tomorrow vultures and eagles, all that will be halal. That's a heavy statement to make. He had to just say this thing here, and he found some different feeling within his heart. Now, he thought, hey, you know, before there was a motivation, there was a drive, I could move. My tahajjud, everything is right. I am naturally averse towards wrong, right? I am naturally inclined towards the sunnah. Right? I'm getting up for tahajjud, my Quran study is going on very well. My relationship with Allah is too good, right? But now, I see the whole thing is just dropped now. In the words of Hazrat Mawlana Tahani Sahib Rahmatullahi, the senior that you brought, the senior buzurg you called, then you're not allowed to bring any type of kudurat in his heart. There mustn't be any type of reservation in his heart. But he says there can be three situations. The one situation is, man is not concerned. So he's in trouble. He's got a sheikh, but he's not concerned about the sheikh having any type of indifferent feeling in his heart. You know what it is. So he just carries on. So that person, he's in problems. Then you get a second person. He doesn't intend hurting. He doesn't intend hurting. Right? But this person also is in problem because he only doesn't intend hurting. Right? Like someone comes, for example, and he parks the car at the entrance of the madrasa. I didn't intend hurting. But now, by the way, people that are coming out, they're getting disturbed. He's got his car just parked right at the entrance. He can stay very nicely, very comfortably, but I didn't intend hurting you. So this person is not in severe problems, but he's also in problems. Yes, the third person is right. Who's the third person? He must intend not to hurt, but to inconvenience. I must intend now, I'm thinking now, what must I do? How must I park the car? How must I conduct myself that I don't inconvenience? So now the relationship with the Shaykh must be that. Must intend not to inconvenience, not to bring pain, not to discomfort in his absence or the presence. But he must intend now that I must not do this. So that person, he is alright. But that first two people, that first person is in serious problems. The second person is also in problem, but not so serious, because he didn't do it intentionally. Right? But that person that is right is the third class. I intend, working it out in my mind, that I mustn't inconvenience, mustn't pain, mustn't do this. So you'll find some kitabs, all the sort of kitabs, that don't let your shadow also fall on you. Someone that's read some kitabs, you'll find. So, what is meant by that? He said, what is meant by that is not to bring discomfort. See, like you're writing on a kitab, and some shadow falls on it. Can you see like normal, or your vision is blurred? Your vision is blurred. So that little bit inconvenience, even if it's just a little, don't inconvenience the person. See, that's why Sahaba Ikram is very particular about this, when this verse is revealed. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون. One is not to raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is not to be forward. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in a sitting now, so you don't be the first person to say anything or do anything. Like for example, there's a mashwara, right? So you don't start it off. Let that senior, Rasulullah, obviously in his time, he'll be the most senior, let him start it off, and he's asking you for suggestions, and then you give something. But you don't initiate. Or at a dastarkhan, for example, right, there's a senior person there. So you don't start off. Although that thing is tempting, that ghost must come this side, you know. That thing must come this side. You must take a U-turn, come this side. It's tempting. But the senior of it, must just let him start off. لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. So, Ibn Abbas, then he carried this out. He went to learn after Nabi Sallam left the world. He thought to himself, see, I must do something. Because now the senior Sahaba Kiram are still around, who had learned directly from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just now they won't be around. So I have got the chance now, I must go to them and learn from them. But in the process, he would wait in the midday sun. Allow the sandstorm all to cover him up. But he will not disturb the person that he's going to study. Or knock at the door, nothing. It's going to inconvenience the person. So, you have to be a little bit considered how you do it. So he said, I rather endure all that. Someone asked him, but why do you do this? He would say that, Al-alimu fi qawmihi kan-nabiyyi fil qawmi. An alim in a people is likened to a nabi in a people. And then Allah Pak speaks about them, about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَلَوْ أَنَّمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخُرْجَ إِلَيْهِ. You hold on until Rasulullah Sallallahu has done whatever he's done, and he comes out. Then you refer to him. But now, everybody's going to think, oh, I got something to see and something to discuss, and I must look and find out. So, if You see, it's resting time, for example, or he's got some family time at that time. And 10 people are going to think the same. What's going to happen? So that considerate, be considerate. That's why I told them, I tell them that if there's some serious news, then don't give the serious news at eating time, meals time, or at sleeping time. If it is there's a genuine need to say it, all right, you say it. You have to attend, you have to do something, all right. But you can't attend to it now. You're not going to do anything. You can only start off doing tomorrow. What's the need of telling the person at night? This person passed away, or this person is serious in hospital, or whatever. That can be postponed for the morning. But the Shaykh Hamdani should do it in this weather. Sometimes there's a death in the month of Ramadan. So, if he's got the news, then he'll keep the news to himself. So if it is like, say, after Taraweeh, he'll keep the news to himself. Because now you can't do anything. Till Fajr, you can't do anything. But you want to speak about it now, that sleep is gone. You want to speak about it now, the man can't enjoy the theory. So he hasn't done, he couldn't do anything now. Because you divulge that news. And mentally he's not in a state to eat. He can't sleep as well, because he's attached to the person. When he's attached to the person, and you have just divulged that, right? What's going to happen to him? His sleep is affected, his eating is affected. So the Shaykh is not like a factory now. Everything he can just take. He's also a human being. But he's a human being, understand. Yes, if there's a news that is to be shared now straight away, there's no problem. If such a news that must be shared at that moment. Otherwise, when he's now around, there's a masjid or something, and you're sharing the news, it's not a problem. So he's not resting, he's not eating, not resting. He said the news, story, now he's going to take it in the stride. See, these are all the adabs. And these adabs are taught, why these adabs are taught? So that you take the maximum benefit. There's no kudurat, see, no nothing left. So now this person here is in Purnia, I think. So he mentioned this, and that spiritual state has declined. In the words of the Muhammad of day, when this happens, when you hurt someone, especially your elder, dini elder, then to susti ajati. Now before you had been active right now, now you begin to become a little bit clumsy. You don't have that activity, not so. You're not that active as you used to be. Before you were active, you could do it. Now you don't have that drive in you any longer. Phir ta'attul ho jata hai. Then you just drop it out. Phir sunnate aur mustahabbat chhu jati hai. In this sequence, right, first the susti comes in, then ta'attul comes in, then sunnat and mustahabbat, they are left out. See that sequence. Aur phir bhi agar koi ehtiyat nahi karta hai, to kabhi iman se bhi mahroom reh jata hai. He's got one warning. The susti came in, but he didn't attend to it. The ta'attul came in, he didn't pay attention to it. Then he's making tark of sunnat and mustahabbat, he didn't pay attention to it. Now he's going deeper and deeper and deeper. Now he's going to collapse now. But now he needs to understand, I've done something. I've explained two situations. One is where he's harja, going here, there, everywhere. After he's given his hands into the hand of someone, and every type of association, every type of person, meeting with him, mixing with him, talking to him, and you don't know what kufr, what disbelief, what he's got in him, going, staying at any place, any home. So what type of background that person has got, what he's got, baggage he's got, you don't know. Like I explained, my ustad used to say, build a visitor's quarters, right? Because you don't know, these hotels, what type of people are coming there. A drunkard is coming there, a rapist is coming there, LG is coming there, Satanist is coming there, right? Now you're going to share the same apartment, right? See where they were, right? And they could be involved in the activity. They left. Day, 2 days, 3 days, the stays are all over. And they left. So that activity, that effect of the activity is still in place. And then your children are going to be witnessing all this thing, all right? This person is semi-naked, half-naked, quarter-naked, or they're carrying on, they're drinking, they do every type of thing. So I ask you, those little impressionable minds, won't they be affected? So either that happens, the association is not right, any type of first person you're mixing up with, or you're blurting out something that you're not supposed to be. So he said this type of statements, and then the thing just collapsed. Now, his fortune was that when he collapsed, right, he understood that I'm collapsing. So he started doing some remedial work. That, hey, I'm collapsing now, what should I do? One person tried to make zikr, tried to make dua, not working out. Correcting himself, not working out. And, but simultaneously, he's meeting some senior ulama-i-kiram, Buzurgan al-Din, and consulting with them as well, that this is what's happening to me. What must I do? Where have I gone? So, one person told him, you see, you may have insulted some senior person. Maybe it's a small insult, one word, but you insulted him. And as a result, this has happened. See, you know, someone is very senior, and one statement, one word against him. And then that just brings about the failure. You just go down. Before you're going so nice, moving, like you're just going through butter, you know, soft butter, moving so nice, so smooth. You were enjoying the whole ride, the whole journey, enjoying it. There was vision, there was sight, and there was activity. Now, suddenly the thing just collapsed. I don't see that, no movement, no activity. So, you may have said something against some great personality. So the right thing now is to go and correct. Go and correct yourself. See this harjai also, and this type of statements as well. Now, in the past, you didn't have so much of this harjai. There was one read of a hadith of Nur Muhammad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, Sher Muhammad. Right? So, he was a murid of Mawlana Nur Muhammad Sahib, our great grandfather Pir, right? And his sheikh had passed on. And his sheikh had passed on, now he realized that my sheikh is gone, now I need to continue the path. Right? So he linked up now, he saw now, alright? And on this path, you know, who's the most senior in the path? Now he's the most senior, then I will connect to him. From the men of my sheikh, who is the most senior? And he is the most senior from the men of my sheikh, so let me go and connect to him. Connected, see. So that is now a person that wants to continue. One is, a person is content, I got my plate full now, enough. But one is a person who wants to continue, he wants to reach the end, right? So he will be in a state of uneasiness until he is not completed. Ali Sahib was in the same state, and this Sher Muhammad is in the same state, that uneasiness. So until he linked up someone. Now, the Sher Muhammad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he is about passing away. And they are prompting him to recite the Kalima. And he's turning away. So they called the Sheikh, whether it was Ajin Ur Muhammad Sahib or whoever it was, but they called him. We ask him to recite the Kalima, but he's turning his face away. So Haji Sahib came in. When he came in, so he smiled at Haji Sahib, that is his sheikh now. He said, please explain this people that me iswakto ism se muntakil hokar ke me musalman mein hu. Ye mujhe ism mein mil aa rahe. See, one is the name of Allah Ta'ala, right? And one is Allah Ta'ala itself. This is the same thing. One is the name. I say text. Right? And one is the chocolate itself. Both are the same things. So he says, now I've moved from the name. I'm witnessing Allah Ta'ala now. When I'm witnessing Allah Ta'ala now, they want me to come back to the name. I'm gone from the name to Allah Ta'ala himself. Right? I'm seeing Allah Ta'ala now. Right? Whichever way, the journey, whichever way. But now I'm at this point, and they want to reverse me. Please explain them. So, this harjaiti, it's a difficulty. One of Haji Sahib's men, and one of his, one that man, his brother was a sheikh. He's Haji Sahib's man, murid, and his brother is a sheikh. So, perhaps he's in Naqshband district, or whatever it is. So his brother is telling him, "By mere se bhi kuch hasil karo, orna tu pashtaoge. Take something from me, otherwise you will have regrets." But now he's so rooted and so firm, so loyal. Said, "Mere liye mere haji sahab kafi hai. My haji sahab is enough for me. I don't need anything else." Brother kept on reminding him, "You rather take something from me, otherwise you will have regrets later on." This person also is on the deathbed. Right. So he's in a semi-conscious state, and they ask him to recite kalima. And he's not responding. So he said, "Maine kaha nahi tha. Did I tell you, right, that take something from me, otherwise you'll regret?" Just then, Haji Sahib was informed, Haji Sahib came in. And Haji Sahib came in, now he came, brightened up, and he says, "Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. Qila adkhul al-jannah, ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin." And this said these words and he passed away. He says, "It's being told to me, get into Jannat." And he says, "Alas, my people only realized how Allah Ta'ala honored me." Now what the brother was talking about and what was the state. But I see the firmness. One is you have to be clear, right? I'm escalating, I'm moving on. So I need to be more refined. I need to understand small mistakes. I can't take it as small any longer. Utterances, statements, etc. I can't take it like how I was treating it before. I need to be very, very careful about it. Right? And the second is that the person that I am with, that I need to be firm with him. Then I can't be balancing this side, running that side, right, other person, third person, running around. Whether a person is valid, not valid, I can't be doing this thing here. So what they were thinking and what it turned out to be. He is being told, "Qila adkhul al-jannah," getting to Jannah, and he's saying, "Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun." These people are giants, if they only knew what Allah gave me, how he honored me. So anyway, we're talking of this sheikh that made the statement here against Hazrat Muad bin Waisab rahmatullahi, and everything began to just fall, everything just collapsed. In the morning also explained, the spark was some ingredients, and ingredients have to be there. Respect, all the time, humility, right? A lot of love, right? And number four is concern. I haven't seen anybody who's got these four ingredients, and he ever is deprived. He's got these ingredients in the right proportion. For the respect he's got, the muhabbat he's got, concern he's got, and last one, respect. Humility, yeah. He's got these four things. What I've seen, you got these four, you're not left out. But if you're getting deprived, running around, falling back, having a seesaw ride, you know, fluctuations, not coming up, not steady in the whole journey, then one of these four ingredients are short. Either humility, either respect, either muhabbat, and either you're not concerned. Otherwise you find, well, the Sher Muhabbat is not an alim, but or see how far is, how it's going, where it's going to. So they're at a different level. So this path requires a lot of humility. Humility with cheer. Not a humility, no. You know, I have to do it, let me do it. I have to do it, so let me do it. No. A humility with a lot of cheer. Submission with a lot of cheer. As though the Shaykh gives you one slap or a tight one. Still got your head down. Does it buff? He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. But you have to mentally prepare yourself for that. Even if that happens, you're still prepared. So that level of submission when it comes, then you're flying. But otherwise, you're having a rocky journey. Coming on, going up, coming on, going up. Try to see in Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah's people. Allah knows who's where, right? But there was a Mir Sahib. So to me, it was very high. To me, when I saw that person, it was very high. But he had that relationship with Hakim Sahib. I remember there was an invite in Azadpur. I was also in that Dawat, right? So we made a meet, one small statement, a small statement. Say, right, stand up. In front of all the guests there, stand up. Hold your ears. He's already an old man like Nasir, right? Right? And he's standing up and holding his ears. And there's no expression on his face, you know, hey, what they make me do now? And after 2-3 minutes, it's normal. Like nothing happened. Well, that type of a relationship began. So the Shaykh would just tell him what he wanted. And he was just responding. To me, I don't think there was a person as at that level as Mir Sahib. But then he had that type of a relationship. So just ending the story here, you know. So he understood now, okay, I did this now. I made the statement. Now the only thing, you can get this right, go personally and ask a maaf. So now, the man that tasted it, he tasted it, he knows what he's tasted. He said, no, whatever he takes, I must go. He went, and the story is that he got mocked, and he saw that same blessings that he was enjoying, the motivation, the drive, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, that love, everything just restored again. Allah Ta'ala finished it.